From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What a busy way to start the week here. And a lot happening in Washington, D.C. Of course, tomorrow is officially the 100-day mark in the Trump presidency. And we're going to be talking tomorrow about the first 100 days of the Trump presidency. And I'm very curious to hear from you, ladies and gentlemen. Where do you grade President Trump so far in the administration? And I think it's fair to do this. We're going to grade three different groups of people. Number one, President Trump. Number two, his administration. And number three, Congress. How would you grade them as we hit the 100-day mark? I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in today. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, earlier today, there was great chaos, great angst on the front lawn of the White House. Now, if you've ever watched the network news folk and they're broadcasting outside, there's this area that's known as Pebble Beach. And Pebble Beach is where they put up every major news network has their own little permanent tent there. It's not very large at all, but it gives them covering from the elements, the weather, and so on and so forth, and the birds and the squirrels. Very aggressive creatures, by the way. But anyway, and it's a long line. So there's just a long line, and I would say maybe at the most a dozen of these tents along this, really along the front drive of the White House inside the gates. I was there just a few days ago, and you probably saw me passing by some of those live camera shots. So anyway, this morning, the Trump administration erected all along the lawn, directly in view of the cable television news host and reporters, photographs, giant photographs, much like campaign signs, where you just plop them right into the ground. And every single one of the signs, there were 100 of them, 100 signs that showed the mugshots of dangerous illegal aliens and the crimes they committed on American soil. And it is driving the mainstream media nuts. As a matter of fact, MSDNC was furious about all of this. Take a listen.
White House has put up about 100 posters of what they say are unauthorized immigrants who have been arrested for violent crimes. You can see them there. They put them up on the driveway of the White House. If you look here, that's the West Wing just at the forefront, the executive mansion itself to the left. But what's particularly noteworthy about this location is it is right directly behind the positions where TV correspondents do their hits from the White House lawn. So therefore, no matter what network you're on, that includes MSNBC, if you're doing a hit from the White House right now, those pictures will be behind you. The White House doing a briefing in about a half hour about what they're doing here.
So NBC and the Politico types are very upset about this because there's no way to escape the fact that those illegal alien mugshots are going to be in the back of all of these camera shots. It is absolutely a brilliant thing here, folks. And again, we are dealing with an administration and we are dealing with a president who is playing chess against a White House press corps that's actually playing checkers. That's what's going on here. So look, over the weekend, there was a series of polls that came out suggesting that President Trump is suffering a complete collapse of his support. And I never have bought into the polls. Never have. And I never will. But the polls do give you a snapshot of what's going on. I want to explain what's happening and what's really behind all of this polling data. Now, this is the headline from the Washington Compost. Trump approval sinks as Americans criticize his major policies. As he nears the end of his first 100 days in office, President Trump facing growing opposition to his ambitious and controversial agenda. This is according to a Washington Compost, ABC News, Ipsos poll. No president in modern times has moved more swiftly than Trump to remake so many parts of the government, as well as some outside institutions. Now, according to their polling data, Trump's overall approval rating is lower than it was only 2 months ago. The poll shows 39% of adult Americans approve of the way Trump is handling his job, compared with 55% who disapprove. 44% disapprove strongly. In February, those numbers were 45% positive, 53% negative. Among registered voters, the deterioration has been even larger. 48% of registered voters gave him positive marks in February, compared with 51% negative. Today, those numbers, 42% positive, 55% negative. That would be a swing of 13 points if all of this is true. So, ladies and gentlemen, a couple of thoughts here as we move through the day and we move through these polls. And I would suspect that when you look at the other polls that are going to be coming out, they're all going to be very similar in nature. And here's the reason why. First of all, I don't believe the polls, all right? But let's just assume for a moment the polling is accurate. The reason why is because of the mainstream media coverage. That's the reason why. When you look at the coverage of President Trump, and I'm not talking about Newsmax, I'm not talking about Fox News, I'm not talking about any of the other conservative groups out there. I'm talking about three groups, ABC, CBS, and NBC. An overwhelming majority of the Americans to this day still get all of their news from those three news organizations, ABC, CBS, and NBC. All right? So no matter how much you love Donald Trump, many of you Trump supporters are still getting your news from those three networks. And the ratings are very clear about where people are getting their news. And it is not Fox and it's not Newsmax. It's the major three networks, ABC, CBS, NBC. According to a new survey, they have been going in, and according to this survey, they've gone in and they've actually been monitoring all of the coverage of President Trump on all three of the networks. And they have determined that in the first 100 days, the mainstream media has engaged in 92% negative coverage of President Trump. Again, 92% negative coverage of President Trump. So if you're the average Joe Blow American and you're not paying attention to politics every single day, you're not listening to the Todd Stearns radio show, if you're not doing any of that, then guess what? You're going to start believing the narrative that's being created by the leftist in the media. That is just a matter of fact. I mean, it's human nature. But again, I have a hard time buying into that narrative. I think all of the polling data is skewed. It's always been skewed against Donald Trump, and it always will be. Now, I'll say this. You also have to contend with the fact that many Trump supporters do not trust the pollsters, and they will either hang up the phone or they'll just lie. You know, and it's a good lie. I mean, it's a positive lie, because who wants to hang out with these pollsters? I get that. But here's a concern I have. The concern is very simple. You know who does believe all of this? Every Republican on Capitol Hill. And on Friday's show, I was very clear that I have grave concerns that Republican leadership in the House and the Senate are intentionally trying to sabotage and slow down the Trump agenda. And here's the reason why. Because they don't want this to happen. All of those executive orders, they don't want codified. We told you on Friday's show, out of the dozens and dozens of Trump executive orders, only two have actually been codified into law. Only two. That tells me there is very little interest in the Senate and the House to move forward with President Trump's agenda. And you watch what's going to happen here, folks. Every single day is a day closer to the midterms, And that tells me that the Republicans on Capitol Hill are going to use this fake polling data as the excuse to slow down President Trump's agenda. Which is why, ladies and gentlemen, every single one of you, every single one, should be calling your elected leaders, and especially if they're Republicans, and demanding that they get off their blessed assurance and they start enacting the president's agenda. I mean, it really is that simple. That's what the Democrats did. So why haven't the Republicans? Why is it? And just think about this for a moment. Why is it that the Democrats were more successful in the first 100 days of Joe Biden's administration than the Republicans have been with Donald Trump? Why is that? Republicans have the majority in the House and the Senate. This ought to be a very simple thing for the Republicans to do. But they don't want the president's agenda to advance. It is a very troubling scenario. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. We're opening up the phone lines. How do you grade President Trump? How do you grade Congress? How do you grade the administration? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. America doesn't need barbed wire or secret police to lose freedom. All it takes is silence. Live Not by Lies is a gripping docuseries by Angel Studios that reveals how soft totalitarianism is creeping into everyday life. Through powerful stories from people who lived under communism, it warns of what happens when we surrender truth for safety. This is a must-watch for anyone who loves faith, family, and freedom. Stream the series now, only on Angel Guild, by visiting angel.com/starns. All right, Karl Rove over at Fox News says Trump's in very bad shape. Rove says that Trump is only off to a good start on one issue, that's the border. His approval rating is 11 points ahead of his overall approval rating, but everything else, he's on the downward spiral. That's what Colonel Rove is saying. And all of that was in a conversation on Fox with the Wall Street Journal's editorial page editor. I don't trust Karl Rove at all. And by the way, Karl Rove hates Donald Trump. Hates him. Let's go to the phone lines here. David in San Francisco. All right, David, what's on your mind today?
Well, how are you, Todd? I heard you talking about the polling. And I think that a big part of the polling shift or changes is that Donald Trump is not and has never been a real conservative. A real conservative is slow and steady. Slow and steady wins the race. And when you start looking at his tariffs, he's chasing away customers. Now, that's another major thing about conservatives. They know they want to keep their customers. They don't want to drive them away. And his tariffs have gone out of their way to almost chase away customers from almost every sector, including the Penguins. And so the idea that America cannot keep customers because of this guy, and he's also shifting the currency, the value of the currency, to such a degree that the farmers can't guarantee their customers or guarantee that they're going to get a price at the end of the year.
So, David, a couple of things to unravel here. I would agree with you that Trump is not a conservative. I don't believe that Trump has ever said he's a conservative. I mean, it's pretty clear that Trump is a populist at his heart. And he's standing firm on a lot of those issues. I think on the social issues of the day, he would consider himself to be a moderate. But again, at the end of the day, Donald Trump is not a conservative. And I think that's ultimately the big blowback that we're watching unfold in the Republican Party right now, because a lot of Trump's policies are not traditionally Republican held policies. But again, when you look at the trade war, David, I think the challenge here, and Trump's been very clear about this, would you agree, though, that we're in a situation where you have to take immediate action to save the country?
Well, it depends on what situation it is. When you think about saving the country, when he was in office 4 years ago and COVID came in, and the entire world thought that they could band together and whip a disease, and instead Donald Trump was going out of his way to pick and choose who he wanted to help and who he wanted to hurt with this disease. And so COVID. And so when you start looking at whether or not he's serving all of us or whether he's going out of his way to intentionally hurt certain sectors. And
okay.
Now looking more recently, when the stock market crashed, 3,800 points in 2 days, and then he's caught on tape with Charles Schwab, and they're laughing about how many billions they made.
No, they're not laughing about that. No, we're not going to take that out of context. But, David, I want to circle back to something. I have a question for you, and I appreciate you calling up. But, David, here's the question. So would you agree that it is a good thing if most of the products we need, and especially the important products we need, are made on American soil by American workers? Would you agree that that is a good thing?
Well, of course. I mean, just look at shoes. You know, if you were to look at shoes 1,000 years ago, shoes were made within walking distance. And now they're made predominantly over 6,000 miles away from the East Coast.
So what Donald Trump is trying to do, David, and again, it is certainly a shock to the system, and no doubt it's going to be painful for a little while, but the end result is going to be phenomenal. Because if the president, and again, I'm willing to give the president some leeway here. I mean, the man got shot in the head for this country, so I'm willing to give him as much leeway as he needs. And if the president is successful here, then the country is going to be successful. And if it doesn't work, well, you know what? We pivot and we do something else. But at the end of the day, the president believes that as many products as humanly possible, and especially those that are important to our well-being and our way of life, those have to be made here. We cannot be reliant upon any other countries. And I appreciate President Trump taking that hardcore position. David, I've got to run, but it's a good argument to have. I think you and I disagree, though, on the tariffs. Again, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to play some audio from the governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker. This is a man who knows his way around a Krispy Kreme. This guy out there over the weekend calling for mass protest and mass disruption across the country. This, ladies and gentlemen, is what the Democrats are going to be doing. It's right out of the George Floyd, Saul Alinsky playbook. And it's just shocking that a sitting governor would say something like this. Now, we're going to play the audio, and I'm just going to ask you a very simple question. It sounds to me like this is an uprising. He's calling for an insurrection. So should the White House start cranking down on these governors and other elected leaders that are calling for violence in the streets? All right, we've got to take a quick break here. We're going right back to the phones, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheets $69.98, and they sell out fast every year. So you got to get on and order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 6-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today. By the way, Border Czar Tom Holman, who you heard on this program last week during our show at the White House, just laid down the hammer with the media. Take a listen.
If you enter this country legally, it's a crime. If you remain in this country legally and you ignore a judge's order about deporting, if you choose to have a U.S. citizen child, knowing you're in this country legally, you put yourself in that position. You put your family in that position. What we did is remove children with their mothers who requested the children depart with them. This was a parental decision, parenting 101. The mothers made that choice. And I tell you what, if we didn't do it, the story today would be Trump administration separating families again. No, we're keeping families together. So when a parent says, I want my two-year-old baby to go with me, we made that happen. They weren't deported. We don't deport U.S. citizens. The parents made that decision, not the United States government. But I don't hear any questions about Lincoln Riley had a mother. She's never going to see her child again. Rachel Morin, she had five children. Those children are never going to see their mom again. This administration is doing the right thing.
Okay, so Holman is pushing back on really the despicable mainstream media coverage of the deportations. And there were several instances. There were three children that were deported with their mothers. Now, this was making massive headlines over the weekend. But here's what you need to know. All of these children were deported with their mothers. So the mothers, the parental units, made the decision whether or not to leave their child in America or to take their child back home, including the mother of a two-year-old. So it was, in fact, the mothers of these children. You had a two-year-old, a four-year-old, and a seven-year-old. They were not just rounded up by ICE agents, just grabbed out of their cribs and put on an airplane to some foreign country. These children were deported along with their mothers, but the media failed to acknowledge that point of the story. I'll give you another example of just how deceiving the legacy media is. So over the weekend, President Trump, he's at the funeral of Pope Francis, and President Trump, the First Lady were there, and they looked wonderful. The First Lady looked stunning. And President Trump showed up wearing a blue suit. Oh, my Lord. Look at him. Such disrespect. Showing up at a state funeral wearing a blue suit. Who does he think he is? People were going nuts in the media. And all you saw was a very closely cropped photo of President Trump in his blue suit. And I thought to myself, well, wait a second. Why is this photo cropped so closely? And it turns out, when you actually look at the broader image, there are no more than at least a dozen other world leaders wearing blue suits. Zelensky wasn't even wearing a suit, and one guy wasn't even wearing a tie. But they would have you believe that Donald Trump was the only man who showed up at the funeral of Pope Francis wearing a blue suit as some sort of a sign of disrespect. And it's simply not true, ladies and gentlemen, simply not true. All right, let's go to the phone lines here as we grade the president, the administration, and the Congress at this 100-day mark. Sunny in Ocala, Florida, WOCA, our great affiliate there. Hi, Sunny. What say you?
I give the president, President Trump, 100-plus as far as grading him. I give his cabinet 65. I give the political parties, Republicans and Democrats, I give them maybe about a 25. You have four parties here. You have the American Democrats, and you have the American Republicans, and then you have the Democrats, who are running Washington, D.C., and you have the go-along to get-along Republicans in Washington, D.C. Another little thing is, every time I try to call somebody in the Congress, whether it's Scott or any one of the other Congress people in Florida, you're lucky if you get an answering machine. The only one that answers the phone in there is Kamek's office, Congresswoman Kamek of the 3rd District. Most of the time I call, there's somebody answering the phone. She is the only one that that I try to call that has an office that works.
Well, I'm not surprised by that, Sonny. Kat Kamek is a great American patriot, and I'm glad to hear that when somebody calls her office, somebody answers the phone.
Well, that's what I'm saying. When you said call your representatives, you can call them until you're blue in the face if nobody answers them. And if you're lucky to get an answering machine, you might get enough recording time to maybe get half your discussion on tape. So to me, these representatives are only representing themselves, with the exception of a few, and they could care less about what the American people who elected them think.
Sonny, it's a great point, and I appreciate you sharing that info with me, because that's not right. And if you, the very least that your elected leaders can do is have somebody in their office picking up the phone and taking a call. And for me personally, it is a great insult when I call a congressperson's office and I immediately get sent to voicemail. That really bothers me, Sonny.
Well, the point is, I've called a few of them, and it goes, their voicemail is loaded or maxed out, or whatever way you want to call. Hi, you can't even leave a message.
Well,
I mean, you're out of luck. You might as well write a letter the way I used to do it years ago when I first started getting involved with the politics. It was in Long Island. You wrote a letter to your assemblyman, like Alfonso, and the rest of them in New York.
Well, there's nothing wrong with going back to old school, but we have, if these folks are not going to listen to us, then there's got to be a price to pay at the ballot box. Sonny, I appreciate that call, and thank you for being a patriot, sir. 901-260-5926, our number, that's 901-260-5926. I told you I was going to play this audio. This is the governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, calling for mass protest over the weekend.
Never before in my life have I called for mass protests, for mobilization, for disruption, but I am now. These Republicans cannot know a moment of peace. They have to understand that we will fight their cruelty with every megaphone and microphone that we have. We must castigate them on the soapbox and then punish them at the ballot box.
All right. That's disturbing to have a sitting governor in the United States calling for mass uprisings. We have seen this play out before, ladies and gentlemen, and I will just say now, first of all, you got to watch your six out there if you're a conservative. But second of all, if there are any attacks on any members of the Trump administration, any Trump supporters out there, anybody that's a part of the First Family, then J.B. Pritzker bears responsibility for that. And I would say that goes for any other Democrat lawmaker that's out there rising up this mob. And that would be Jasmine Crockett. That would be Ilhan Omar, Maxine Waters, all of them. They need to be held accountable for what they're doing here. And it certainly seems to me that this man is calling, I may be wrong here, but he's calling for mass protest and disruptions, which sounds to me like an insurrection. By the way, meantime, in Chicago, and we're seeing this in other Democrat cities as well, you've got mobs of young thugs and thugettes, and they're running through the streets, terrorizing people, breaking into stores, pillaging and plundering and looting, and I mean, just the list goes on and on and on. Nobody talks about that. Nobody wants to talk about that at all. But again, this is who the Democrats are. They want to disrupt Donald Trump. They got nothing. The Democrats have nothing. They've got no ideology, no philosophies. They've got no leadership. They're like a wounded puma in the corner, just lashing out with their claws. That's what makes them dangerous, in my estimation. So as bad as things may be with the Republicans on Capitol Hill right now, it's not even close to as bad as it is with the Democrats. So they are going to cause as much chaos and disruption as possible. And I would be very careful and just be very careful here, because there will be some sort of a false flag attack that will not be what it appears to be. And this and typically, and we saw this with Charlottesville, typically it is connected to racism. So we just have to be very careful not to buy into whatever might happen over the next coming, you know, weeks or months. But I'm telling you, these people mean what they say, and they are going to get out there, and they are going to cause these disruptions. And it's very clear to me, for example, in Memphis, Tennessee, and I'm going to give you two examples, one in Riverside County, California, the other right here in Memphis. And over the weekend, we had yet another mass shooting. I think 5 people shot, another person killed in just one instance. But over the past week and a half, we've had nearly 50 people shot in Memphis, nearly 20 people killed. And that doesn't include all of the other crime, carjackings, assaults, robberies, murders. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I have never seen anything like it. And this is all very personal to me because Memphis is my hometown, and my hometown is under siege. We live in a war zone. And the troubling part for me is that our city has been ruled by generations by Democrats. And now we've got the radical progressives, and they want to defund and dismantle the police department. If you have, hear me on this, you folks in Salem, Oregon, check this out. I know you guys are infested with radical progressives that want to defund and dismantle the police department there. I get that. You need to take a very long, hard look at what's happening in Memphis, because our poor police department has been decimated. I mean, we are almost down 1,000 officers from our full complement, and the time came for pay raises, and there's no money for raises. They're not going to give the police officers a single penny more. Those are the Democrat policies. Our mayor, a guy by the name of Paul Young, actually invited gang members to come and have coffee and cookies at City Hall. So the mayor's thrown in with the gangs. And I don't know if he's scared of the gangbangers or what, but he's not doing anything. And I'll give you an example. Today, early this morning, one of the most historic civil rights churches in the nation burned to the ground in Memphis. Terrible, terrible story. And the ATF is investigating, but it appears the thing was under renovation. So it appears we don't know what the cause of it was, but I don't think it's criminal in nature, at least at this point. You've got the mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, holding a press conference. We've had dozens and dozens of people shot and killed in the streets. Nobody's holding press conferences. Nobody. As a matter of fact, the mayor tells you that it's a crime perception problem we've got here. So what happens? The good law-abiding taxpayers of Memphis, they turn to the Republicans for help. We live in a supermajority red state. Our governor's a Democrat by the name of Bill Lee. We've got all these Republican leaders up there in the House and the Senate, and they're doing nothing. The governor refuses to intervene. The governor refuses to do anything. People are literally being shot every day in the streets of Memphis, and nobody's doing anything about it. So it appears that we've just been abandoned by both political parties. We've got nobody to advocate with us, which is why I'm calling on President Trump to intervene. And I believe that he can step in here and he can fix what's broken in Memphis. It's so bad that over the weekend, there were about 1,000 people that turned out to protest Elon Musk. Elon is bringing an incredible thing here, and an XAI supercomputer worth billions and billions of dollars, and yet you've got the black activist in this community that would rather people live in poverty, and they say, we don't want Elon Musk here. We don't want him here. Elon's got to go. This is what we're dealing with. In Riverside County, California, they're dealing with the same thing. As a matter of fact, and we'll play this a little bit later in the show, the sheriff in Riverside County, California, warning the citizens that Democrats have literally put out a bill that protects the criminal who breaks into your house. So in Memphis, Tennessee, I don't know if they just want all the white people to leave. I don't know if that's the end game from Mayor Paul Young in City Hall, is that they just want all the white people to leave. They want all the businesses to pack up and move out, because that's what's happening. But also, you know who else is moving out? A lot of black middle class people who are sick and tired of the violence, and they don't want their kids exposed to it, so they're moving out. And soon Memphis is pretty much going to be a city of thugs. It will look like a dystopian city because the Democrats and the Republicans refuse to do anything. And just like President Trump, he came to office, he wasn't tiptoeing around. The president walked in and he took a sledgehammer to the issues that were impacting this country. And I wish he would do that in Memphis, and I wish he would use my hometown as an example. This is what we can do. This is what we can do to fix Memphis. This is what we can do to make Memphis great again. And if we can fix Memphis, we can fix every other city in America. But my concern is that we're going to have companies like AutoZone based here in Memphis. We're going to have companies like FedEx. And the owner of FedEx was very clear in a recent column that he wrote, an essay, saying that the situation in Memphis is becoming untenable. And you know what that means? It means that you folks in Wichita, you better wake up, because FedEx may be coming to your neck of the woods. That tells me that even companies like FedEx, born and birthed right here in Memphis, Tennessee, it is so bad that they're thinking about packing up and leaving. That's how bad it is here. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, coming up, Liz Peek's going to drop by from Fox News. Also, Congressman Chip Roy and Burgess Owens and Mark Harris all weighing in on a variety of issues. And I am telling you right now, folks, we are literally in a war for our country. It's the heart and the soul of the country. And I'm so glad that you have chosen the Todd Stern Show, because we are happy warriors here on this program. But I will say this, about 2 weeks ago, I brought to you into the show a conversation and really a warning about the rise of Islam around the world, and especially right here in America. And it's very interesting to see it. And Mark Levin talks about this a lot. Mark Levin will talk about something, and a few days later, everybody in talk radio is talking about it. Well, in this particular instance, now everybody is talking about the rise of Islam and the threat it is to the Constitution and to the Republic of our great nation. And I don't know what the heck is going on in Texas, and we're going to dip into some of that. But the rise of Islam in the state of Texas is a very disturbing thing. And by the way, your state legislature down there just announced it was Pakistan Day. So now you've got the state house in Texas in Austin saluting Muslim countries. in Texas. What is going on in the Lone Star State? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll talk about that coming up. Also, ToddStearns.com. Go and check out all of our great stories, great content for you. We got to take a quick break, everybody. We'll be right back.
The Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hour two of the big program, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Broadcasting live today from our Liberty University studios in Memphis, Tennessee. All right, I want to go right away to our Old Glory Bank newsmaker line. One of my favorite guests and one of the greatest columnists in America, Liz Peek, joins us. Liz, did I do a good job of building you up here?
You really did. Let's do it again.
All right, we can. I'll do your ringtone for you for your answer.
Exactly.
All right, Liz. Well, first of all, great to have you with us. And there's so much happening. You know, here we are on the eve of 100 days of the Trump administration. And I'm just curious, before we get into your most recent column, how do you think the administration's doing so far?
Well, I think they're doing a whole lot better than the polls would suggest, Todd. And I think the reason for that disconnect is that the press has just been unbelievably, faithfully, energetically negative on absolutely everything Trump does, which, by the way, they've done for 10 years. I mean, it's getting a little old, but the reality is, Frank Luntz, the GOP pollster, had a group of Trump voters, about 15 of them, assembled over the weekend and was asking them, sort of expecting them to blast the president on all the things that are going wrong, et cetera, only to find out that actually they kind of approve of what he's doing. And most of this is about tariffs, the prospect of higher prices, et cetera, which, of course, is on everybody's mind. But I think that the media is vastly underestimating the fact that people really like the speed with which Trump has addressed, I don't know, dozens of issues, issued executive orders on all kinds of things, and yes, run into a lot of resistance and interference from the judiciary. But gosh, the Washington Post has 31 campaign promises that they track. Four of those they've already, he's done, according to them. But the vast majority are either underway or have been blocked by a judge. But imagine that. I think they only cite eight that haven't been done. And those are things like lowering taxes, which really is on Congress's plate, not the president's. I'd say that's a pretty terrific energy level. And yeah, a lot of stuff is getting done, including, by the way, something that never gets press anymore, which is closing the southern border. I mean, has everybody forgotten that, the number of people flowing into the country illegally is down by something like 97%. That was a very big deal. And now that Trump has solved the problem, nobody's really talking about it. But that's a pretty amazing accomplishment in 100 days.
It's really remarkable, and you're right. Nobody's talking about the border crossings, and it's really been phenomenal to see what happens when you actually allow Border Patrol agents to do the jobs they were hired to do.
Yeah, and I think also make it clear that people coming across illegally, particularly people with criminal past and criminal intentions, are not welcome here. And boy, if I were a Venezuelan gang member, one look at the prison in El Salvador where some of these guys are being sent, I would not come to the United States. I mean, part of it, we have things like birthright citizenship, which the president is trying to end absolutely correctly because it is a huge magnet for illegals coming into our country. But you should really have a combination of getting rid of the magnets and also carrying a very big and powerful stick. And I think the president's really done that very well. Illegal immigration is a horror. I mean, it's a national security problem. It's a crime problem. And it's an economic problem. So, you know, let's not sort of just automatically assume that that was easy to fix. I think it was not, and it is being fixed very capably. So, you know, chalk one up for the president. I don't think that's his only win. But all the attention, of course, is focused on tariffs. And, you know, Todd, I got to tell you, there are a lot of people in this country that believe that we indeed have a very unlevel playing field, that our allies and opponents have treated the United States poorly. I mean, I think Trump goes on about that too much. But he's quite correct that it is not fair. And we basically put up with it. So, yeah, he's turning the tables upside down, causing a lot of discomfort. But, you know, I think if not now, when? I mean, this is a rich country, and we've allowed an awful lot of stuff to go on, like our providing defense, basically, for all of rich Europe that should not have happened. So now or never. Are we going to fix this? And I think under Trump, we are going to fix some of this.
The one thing that we may not be able to fix, though, and you wrote about this over at Fox, is Joe Biden. And I love how you framed the column, Liz. Now, I'm a Southerner, and Easter is sort of our jam. You know, it's we break out the pastels and the seersucker, and all the ladies have the hats, and, you know, it's you're dressed to the nines. But everybody's coordinated. And so when we saw the picture of Joe Biden and his family for Easter, you're like, wait a second. It looks like he's been photoshopped into the family Easter photo. That's weird.
It was really weird. And just, you know, chalk up another weird thing from the Joe Biden days. Look, I think Joe Biden is in a very sad situation now. I don't have much sympathy for him because I don't think he's an honest person or a very decent person. But the reality is he needs to earn money. And every time he goes out in a public appearance of any kind, he makes gaffes that are embarrassing to the party. Democrats are pretty clear that they want him basically just to go away at this point. And he refuses to do it. So, you know, he got himself into this. He and his family are protecting him. I thought that picture was very strange. And I don't know how they think that the public is so stupid that we're not going to sort of notice that he's been landed in it. It was pretty funny. And, you know, is dressed totally inappropriately because everyone else is in jeans and, you know, kind of casual clothes. And here he is in a coat and tie. It was very strange. But anyway, you know, I don't really care about Joe Biden except this. I think that as the time goes by and these books come out, it's going to become more and more apparent, obviously, that so many people were in on defrauding the American public and the American voters. And it is astonishing to me that you have the White House Correspondents' Dinner reward a guy at Axios for reporting sort of baby steps about the baby efforts made in the White House to shield everything from the public. But where was the rest of the White House correspondents? I mean, all those months and even years, Todd, they told people like me and you, oh, don't believe what you're seeing with your own eyes. The president is sharp as a tack. I mean, that phrase is going to go down in history as one of the biggest lies ever perpetrated. But guess what? 99% of the liberal press, I think that's fair, was in on this hoax. Was a hoax.
No doubt about it. We've got that audio. This is Alex Thompson from Axios at the White House Correspondents Dinner. And here's how he tried to provide cover for the media.
The White House Correspondents Association is as necessary as ever. President Biden's decline and its cover-up by the people around him is a reminder that every White House, regardless of party, is capable of deception. But being truth tellers also means telling the truth about ourselves. We, myself included, missed a lot of this story, and some people trust us less because of it. We bear some responsibility for faith in the media being at such lows. I say this because acknowledging errors builds trust, and being defensive about them further erodes it. We should have done better.
Well, there's a load of fertilizer. I mean, they bear all the responsibility, Liz. They had a front row view to all of this,
yeah,
and they covered it up.
Yeah, they definitely did. I mean, you could not sit down for an interview with Joe Biden, as by the way, Special Investigator Hur did, right? In talking about the misuse of secret documents, and not conclude that the guy had lost his marbles. I mean, that's a bit harsh, but you can see it. And again, you and I'm sure we talked about this, you know, 4 years ago when he ran in 2020. The man was not competent there, and it was a pretty steady slide. The idea, as he would say, the idea that our country was being run by a man not particularly capable, we still don't know. The biggest question of all is who was running the country. Was it really his chief of staff? Was it Samantha Powers and Susan Rice and other holdovers from Obama age? I don't know. And I presume that little by little this will come out. But I think it's horrifying. And, you know, before we get too critical of Donald Trump, let's remember we have replaced an inert, incapable president with someone with the energy of 18 racehorses. I mean, I cannot believe the warp speed that this guy has taken office and undertaken so many things. It is so rushed and so persuasive an effort. And yes, there will be mistakes, because when you're tackling maybe 20 major issues all at the same time. But Todd, one more thing. I have to say, I chuckled to myself again this morning, thinking about all the president is trying to do, all these negotiations and ending wars and tariff battles and stuff. And yet here he is walking around the White House with a contractor talking about where they should put American flags. I mean, I have to tell you, that
was brilliant.
Right? Wasn't it just spectacular? I mean, because I don't know. I mean, it's just sort of, he can truly walk and chew gum at the same time, more than almost anybody I think I've ever seen. And his appetite for change, for innovation, I love it, I have to say. And yeah, it's not all going to go perfectly. But I got to tell you, on this tariff thing, I give him the benefit of the doubt, because I think we do need to restructure our trade agreements. And if this gets that done, bully for him.
All right, Liz, we got to leave it there. Folks got to read Liz's great work over at foxnews.com. Liz, have a great one. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Always take care.
All right. You know, the big question, who exactly is leading the Democrat Party? And that's really where there's such chaos right now. I mean, you had Cory Booker, the New Jersey senator, on the front steps of the Capitol building doing a sit down. I have no idea what that was all about yesterday. Then you've got J.B. Pritzker out there calling for a mass uprising and some sort of an insurrection. And then you've got Gavin Newsom out on the left coast trying to figure out where all the money went that he spent. So the question is, who is, in fact, the leader of the Democrat Party? Is it really going to be someone like a Jasmine Crockett or an AOC? And while AOC and Bernie Sanders are very popular, they are very popular only by a very small sliver of the Democrat Party. And I'm just not seeing her. We should take her seriously, but I just don't see her being the next president of these United States if she decides to run. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I will say this. If you see J.B. Pritzker on Ozempic, he's running for something. We'll be right back. All right, all you folks in Houston listening to us on Patriot Talk 920, a massive controversy has embroiled one of the largest churches in America. That would be Second Baptist Church in Houston. Are you ready for this? They have 96,000 members. 96,000 members at Second Baptist Church in Houston, where a lawsuit has been filed, and now many of the congregants are saying that they've been deceived. So the pastor, Ed Young, just ended his 46-year tenure as the pastor of that church. And through the course of finding the new pastor, he appointed his son, Ben Young, as the new head pastor. Ed Young told the congregation he was not stepping down, he was stepping up, but the following day, his son told his dad to clean out his office. This is according to the lawsuit. This is crazy. He was also told that his ministry would no longer be needed. And apparently, a hastily called meeting was held where a very small fraction, some 200 members, showed up and voted to give the new pastor ultimate power and authority. So if this was like a traditional Southern Baptist church, it operates pretty much like it's very democratic. So you vote, everybody votes, you have committees, and that's how things are done. But now apparently all of that has been given the heave-ho, and the members have had their rights taken away in secret. So this is a massive story that's impacting the entire religious community. The Jeremiah Council Corporation issued a press release, and they said that church members unknowingly rubber-stamped the church's new regulations. That's why you always have to read the fine print, ladies and gentlemen. You know, when you buy a smartphone or whatever, and you got to read that tiny print there. And if you don't, it can come back and bite you in the blessed assurance, as it appears to have been done to the good people of Second Baptist Church in Houston. So there you go. Lawsuit's been filed. We'll keep you updated on that. But according to the petition, the lawsuit, only about 200 of the church's 94,000 members attended the meeting, which represented less than 0.25% of the members. Fascinating story. But you never want to be in one of these church conflicts, because that's ugly. You think politics is ugly. I mean, you get involved in one of these church conflicts when you're talking about whether or not to change the color of the carpets. It's on like Donkey Kong. I'm just telling you, that's not a good situation there in Houston, Texas. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Congressman Chip Roy, represents the 21st Congressional District in Texas. The congressman wants to weigh in on not only these incredible yard signs that have been erected over at the White House, but also the situation on Capitol Hill, whether or not Congress is actually going to be able to follow through and deliver on the president's agenda. So you're going to want to stick around for that conversation coming up next. And don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax, President Trump going to be signing some new executive orders, and we'll be broadcasting that live. Congresswoman Mary Miller is going to join us. Also, have you seen the videos of the alligators ringing the doorbells down in Florida? Well, we're going to be talking to an alligator expert who says apparently the alligators in Florida are actually getting smarter and they're learning. It's very weird. By the way, Newsmax, if you haven't heard, just went public on the New York Stock Exchange, listed on the big board. Millions of Americans now joining the news revolution. Reuters says Newsmax, one of the top 12 brands in America, news brands. President Trump says it's terrific. So do 40 million Americans. Our audience grew 50%. Since the same time last year, millions are making the switch to Newsmax, and you can too. If you want to become a Newsmax share owner, call your advisor. Get more info at NewsmaxInvest.com. Of course, this communication for informational purposes only should not be intended to and should not constitute an offer to buy or sell securities, nor shall there be any sale of securities in any jurisdiction in which such offer, solicitation, or sale would be unlawful. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Want to play some audio here? This is from Peter Ducey at the White House press briefing earlier this morning. Cut 10.
You guys arrested a Milwaukee County circuit judge for allegedly helping illegal immigrants get away. As you guys look at other judges, would you ever arrest somebody higher up on the judicial food chain, like a federal judge or even a Supreme Court justice?
Well, that's a hypothetical question. Again, I defer you to the Department of Justice for individuals that they are looking at or individual cases. But let's be clear about what this judge did. She obstructed federal law enforcement who were looking for an illegal alien in her courthouse. She showed that illegal alien the door to evade law enforcement officials. That is a clear-cut case of obstruction. You don't have to be a lawyer to understand that. And so anyone who is breaking the law or obstructing federal law enforcement officials from doing their jobs is putting themselves at risk of being prosecuted. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, good. I say lock them all up. Let's go to our Old Glory Bank newsmaker line. Say hello to Congressman Chip Roy from the 21st Congressional District. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Todd, I'm doing great. I hope you're doing well too, sir.
You know, I am. I have to tell you, really appreciate those yard signs up on the north lawn of the White House today. What's your take on that?
Yeah, well, actually, you know, we can joke about it, but, you know, it's really important. I mean, the message here to make very clear to the American people the kinds of people we're talking about removing from the country. And by the way, we need to remove a lot of people who aren't just the criminals, right? There are a lot of people who came here and they're using up our resources, using up schools and hospitals and law enforcement. But importantly, these individuals, the first people that have been removed, Frente at Agua and these gang members who were killing Americans, people like Lake and Riley, people like Jocelyn Nungre in Houston, it's important for the American people to see that and attach the crime and the danger to the individuals that are being removed. So I'm glad the White House is doing it, and we need to echo it.
You know, you tweeted something earlier today, and I love this. We have the most secure border in the history of our nation, and that probably has been one of the most underreported parts of the Trump administration so far, is the great success that we've seen at the border.
No, that's right. I mean, look, getting the numbers down to the historic levels they're currently at. You know, I was down in Texas over the Easter recess, and happy belated Easter, by the way. You know, we were able to talk to ICE officials, talk to Border Patrol officials, talk to law enforcement, and it is night and day different, right? We're talking about, you know, a very, very small number. We're talking 5,000 or 6,000 total apprehensions a month, maybe even less than that across the entire Southwest border. That, remember, under Biden, we had days that were 10, 11, 12,000 in single days. So we've got a very secure border. Now, look, there's still drugs coming across through the ports of entry. There's still some people coming across between the ports of entry, but we're generally catching them and generally removing them. Gotaways are down close to zero. So things are all heading in the right direction, but we're 3 months in. Cartels are smart. They'll find ways to work around it. So we need to continue the pressure and continue to support the president and what he's doing.
It's just really shocking to me that the Democrats are doubling down, tripling down on this. The fact of the matter is you've had all these Democrats going down to El Salvador to call for the release of Garcia out of Maryland, and yet many of those people, I don't think any Democrats, have been to Gaza to call for the release of the American hostages over there.
No, and where were they when we had Americans dying? Like, where were they when, yeah. Take the, you know, senator from Maryland, for example, the Democrat, who, you know, where was he when Rachel Morin, his own constituent in Maryland, who was murdered, and then, you know, the guy was being prosecuted. He wasn't out there talking about that. He wasn't talking about Kayla Hamilton. He's out there going down there to defend this MS-13 gang member who had a carload of illegals that he was driving, and he was caught. He had a domestic charge levied against him, and he had an order of removal by a federal judge against him. I mean, that's the truth. And look, they're giving up their colors on this. Now, there are some Democrats. I mean, Henry Cuellar, notably, Texan Democrat, came out and said, you know, that they shouldn't be making a poster shot out of this guy and they shouldn't be standing up behind this guy because he's a real problem. So a few are seeming to get it and realize how out of touch most of the Democratic leadership is.
I want to move to what's happening up on Capitol Hill. And there's been a lot of frustration. I know MTG put out a pretty lengthy post a few days ago talking about the lack of movement on the president's agenda and codifying a lot of these executive orders. Congressman, is this being done intentionally by leadership, or, and if not, why is it so slow moving compared to the Biden administration?
Well, first of all, man, look, and Marjorie's a good friend, and we agree on like 90+% of things. I think we are all frustrated. She and I are both frustrated about, you know, we want to do more, be more aggressive, and I think the House needs to be more aggressive, but let's just be very blunt. One of the problems we have is the Republican conference and its makeup. Let's take, for example, USAID. Elon, right, shined a light on the ridiculous expenditures, $32,000 comic book, a transgender comic book to Peru funding and other bad programs, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of crazy programs. Well, guess what? We in the Freedom Caucus offered an amendment 18 months ago to repeal half of the USAID, defund half of it. But 102 Republicans voted for it, but 114 voted against it. That's the conference we're dealing with. Now, we've been moving some good bills. Credit to the Speaker and our efforts to do that, but just not enough in my view. But we moved the SAVE Act, the bill that I introduced, to require that only American citizens vote in American elections and have consequences for doing so and the ability to enforce it. It's a good bill. Democrats will jam it up. You know, we moved a bill that would try to stop the injunction abuse by judges by changing and reforming that system. We did that right before Easter. We've done some other things, you know, related to the issues. We passed the Lake and Riley Act and things. So we've been moving some things that are consistent with the president's agenda and trying to codify some of the executive orders. But we need, frankly, a stronger block of Republicans to do it. And also for all the listeners out there, you got to remember, as long as the Senate is operating under the 60-vote threshold, which they currently are for everything except for judges, then we can't move anything without having seven Democrats join. So that's why they're blocking the SAVE Act. That's why they jammed and they defeated the bill that I introduced to sanction the International Criminal Court for going after Benjamin Netanyahu and trying to make him a war criminal. So, you know, we got a lot we got to do. We got to keep moving forward, and now we got to figure out this budget and reconciliation stuff.
And that is a huge thing. And for me, it's all about fiscal responsibility, and we've just got to see that happen, Congressman.
No, I agree, Todd. I mean, look, for everybody out there, I mean, look, you use reconciliation. It only takes 51 votes in the Senate, but we have to figure out how to balance tax and spend policy. Nobody wants taxes to go up. All of the tax cuts under Trump are going to expire this December, the ones that haven't already expired. We want to make those, extend those at least 10 years. We want to stick those out in the future, help the average hardworking American. But guess what? We have to cut spending, which is causing the inflation tax, killing the average American family. Healthcare is unaffordable. Housing is unaffordable. School is unaffordable. Cars are unaffordable. We've got to stop that. And the only way to do that is to stop federal spending. So I am saying out to people, like, guys, I'm not going to just default vote for your tax cuts if you're not going to cut spending. And I know that's a hard thing for me as a Republican to say. And I know a lot of Republicans hearing that and conservatives and go, well, Chip, are you for a tax increase? Oh, hell no. I like to cut taxes down to next to zero, if not abolish it altogether. But we got to pay for defense. We got to pay our interest. And we got to pay the promises to our seniors, which means we got to get a system that works. So we got to cut the waste, cut the fraud, stop all the games in Medicaid, stop funding the able-bodied when they should be working. These reforms we can do, should do. And anybody who opposes the reforms to Medicaid, reforms to these systems that need to be reformed, then they're the ones that are for a tax increase.
Congressman Chip Roy on our Old Glory Bank Newsmaker line today. And Congressman, do you think that's going to be possible? I mean, the clock is ticking. People are already talking about the midterm elections. And my big concern is we hit the midterms and we haven't had a lot of movement in the Congress on the president's agenda.
Well, we're moving things that I think are important, as I said, the SAVE Act and other things that the Democrats are jamming up. Reconciliation, we've been moving the budget along. It takes a lot of work. You got a razor-thin majority in the House and the Senate. You know, look, we got to deliver. There is no excuse, and we've got to get this done. We've got to extend tax cuts so that taxes stay low, and we've got to cut spending. We've had a lot of success getting us unified, but now it's game time. And every Republican who has ever campaigned on balancing the budget, every Republican who's ever looked at me and said, when we've had a shutdown fight, Chip, the discretionary spending doesn't matter. It's all the mandatory spending. Well, guess what, guys? It's game time. We have mandatory spending in front of us under reconciliation. We can reform Medicaid and food stamps, add work requirements, make it work better, provide better health care outcomes, drive spending down, drive inflation down, pass a tax cut, and we can deliver for the American people. Or our folks can pretend to be Republicans but really be socialists and continue to expand government programs that are bankrupting our country and then wonder why we couldn't get this done. So we'll see what happens, but I'm going to be fighting for the hardworking people that I represent. And they didn't send me to Washington to increase the size of government. They sent me to Washington to shrink government and to give them more of their money back.
Congressman, again, tomorrow marks the 100-day mark. How do you think the president and the administration are doing so far?
The president is doing an exceptional job, particularly in securing the border of the United States, resetting the table globally, and rooting out DEI and all of the ridiculous, disastrous, divisive, weaponized policies, getting DOJ back to its job, getting the FBI back to its job, focusing on criminals, focusing on organized crime rather than hardworking Americans. I still think we've got to go figure out how we're going to land the plane on tariffs. I think resetting the international stage is important. Let's isolate China, but we got to get everything freed up and moving, and that means kind of landing this plane with a policy that we can tell the American people what it is, and we've got to get busy making good on everything that Elon and Doge has been doing by making permanent these spending reductions. Otherwise, it's all for naught. And if we don't do it, then we're not going to get our hands around inflation. And so the president's doing a great job. But, you know, we got to figure out tariffs, and then Congress needs to deliver on the permanent.
All right. Well, Congressman, we always appreciate you coming on the show, and thanks for your candor.
Hey, God bless, Todd. Thank you.
All right. Good man right there, folks. Congressman Chip Roy from the 21st Congressional District. And again, here's a guy, and there are a few others like Chip Roy up on Capitol Hill. He is a principled man. And until we can cut spending and reduce the deficit, we are heading towards financial ruin. And that's what Chip Roy has been trying to say. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, pay some bills, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. I don't know if you were watching the NFL draft over the weekend. Wow, that was insane. So Shedeur Sanders, now he's playing for the Cleveland for the Browns. Is that right? Okay, he's playing for the Browns. Finally got drafted. He was projected by some to be the number one overall pick in this year's draft, but completely fell out. It was not a good thing at all. And man, people are fired up over this, and there are a lot of folks that are saying this is really a form of racism, and I just don't see that, seeing how the top draft picks were all black men. Anyway, people very upset about this, and they're demanding changes, they're demanding investigations, all sorts of crazy stuff. But the funny thing is that there was a prank call made. And it turns out that the prank call was made to Sanders and the guy pretending to be with the New Orleans Saints. And again, it was a prank call. A lot of the other players got prank calls as well. But the guy responsible is a student at Ole Miss, 21-year-old, and his dad is the defensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons. And so the Falcons had to come out and apologize. And, of course, the kid is white, so they're trying to make this all about race. And I just don't see that. And Dylan, I know that you were watching the NFL draft, and this is, again, I think there was something that the coaches, that the recruiters saw in Sanders that maybe the average football player just did not see.
Yeah, because you know a lot of the players have to interview with the coaches and also like the scouts. So from what I've heard, it was like an attitude that he had, and you know, something doesn't go right, a coach will just pass right on, because there's a lot of players in this draft you have to keep in mind. And you know, we've seen this before where players come in, they think they're all that, and then they don't perform on the field, so they're not going to go with that if someone has a bad attitude going into it.
So according to some of the reports, Bleacher Report says that Sanders would actually he showed up at these meetings and completely acted like a jerk.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he had his headphones on listening to music and pretty much sandbagged several of the interviews and clearly had not done his homework as well.
Yeah. And it even in the NFL, you have to be coachable. Like you've reached the top, obviously, but there's coaches for a reason. You're still learning. You're still developing plays. You have to learn a whole playbook as a quarterback. Like you have to be coachable. And it doesn't seem like he was willing to be.
He actually said this out loud. He said that NFL teams need to change their culture. So if you're going to pick me, you've got to change your culture.
Okay, buddy.
How did that work out for you? Enjoy Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? I don't know if you saw the images. It was, you get the real-time camera shot of the coaches and all the Cleveland Browns organization there. And the looks on their faces, it was just like, Oh my God, what just happened here?
Yeah, and Cleveland doesn't have a great track record for quarterbacks, so we'll see.
I mean, some of the stories I've heard are just unbelievable. I mean, this guy is really full of himself. Mm-hmm. By the way, so Jax Ulbrich is the son of the defensive coordinator. Oh, no, I'm sorry, he's defensive backs coach. And you know, I would have loved to have heard the phone call between dad and son. I mean, that's just insane. And then they put it all on social media. Everybody knew he did it because they put it on the Instagram.
Oh, boy. Prank calls.
I wonder if the dad literally showed up in Oxford at the dorm.
Wouldn't be surprised.
So anyway, they're all apologizing now. But honestly, people are saying that this is all about racism. And, oh, here's one assistant coach said this. It was the worst formal interview I've ever been in my life. He's so entitled. He takes unnecessary sacks. He never plays on time. He has horrible body language. He blames teammates. But the biggest thing is he's not that good. Oh, wow. Well, he's good.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
But again, I guess you can have the best player in the world, but if they're just an awful person to be around.
Yeah, take a look at who was it? Johnny Manziel.
Oh, wow.
He was first pick, first round. He just fell out.
According to one report, one longtime AFC executive said he didn't do great in our interview. He wants to dictate what he's going to do and what's best for him. He makes you feel small. Even some of Sanders' fans expressed disappointment that he'd take a bigger step forward as a senior. It's a fair point. But you know what? His dad was the same way.
Yeah, but his dad could back it up.
But his dad could back it up. You're right. But the sheer looks of like, we may as well have just picked Colin Kaepernick. I mean, that was the look. And their images have gone viral because nobody was smiling. Nobody was like, woohoo. It was like, oh, God.
Yeah, and there's a lot of pressure probably to pick him up. You know, because nobody was. So it's like, all right, come on. We'll get him. Sorry, guys.
Again, I just don't know. There was just so much controversy over all of this. And again, I'm not quite sure why. But we'll see. Ultimately, at the end of the day, what's going to happen is they're gonna put him out on that field, and he may be riding the bench before it's all said and done. And the question is whether or not his teammates are going to put up with all that foolishness.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't think they will. By the way, the Grizzlies got, oh, that was brutal.
Sad story with the Grizzlies.
My condolences to Grace Baker.
Oh, yeah. She's really upset about that.
That was not good. That was not good.
We'll see you next year.
There you go. All right. Coming up, by the way, folks, Burgess Owens. We're going to ask him about all that NFL controversy, but he's also representing Utah's 4th in Congress. Also, Mark Harris from North Carolina's 4th Congressional District, or 8th Congressional District. We're going to talk to him. Your calls as well. So hang tight for that, everybody. Stick around. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need that. If you plan on calling into the show today, that number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Well, I want to go right away to our Old Glory Bank newsmaker line. Always an honor to have Congressman Burgess Owens with us. He represents Utah's 4th Congressional District. And Congressman, before we get to the big politics of the day, I got to ask you a quick football question, if that's okay.
I was concerned you're going to do that, but go right ahead.
No. I'm going to. This was insane. The whole situation around Deion Sanders and his son, and I'm just curious to get your take on this. Were you surprised at all the hullabaloo?
Well, you know, I haven't been keeping up a whole lot with the NFL when it started. Nearly, I stopped watching, but this is one of the things I thought was interesting, and I think the lesson that we have to keep in mind. Characters take a big part in working as a team, and you have to have a belief that you have leaders, a leadership that's actually be focused on team versus self. And I think that's really what's coming out of this last week. Deion's son has not done a good job of showing that type of leadership. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how talented you are or not, if you cannot pull the team together and have people work on the same page in any other team environment, it's not going to work. So I'm hoping young people will kind of pay attention, focus on team myself, and I think you'll get a lot further ahead in the entire process.
You see, I think this was the overarching lesson for all of the kids in America to learn. That, and if you're going to prank call somebody, don't put it on Instagram, for crying out loud. So,
It's a different day than when we kind of grew up, and I think that's going to be the real pressure for a lot of these young people, is to keep things perspective, just stay humble. It's hard to work on that piece of it. Be likable to people like you, and be focused on your team, not self. If you do that, it could be a lot of fun as you get into this new phase of careers, for sure.
Well, that's it. That's it. Now on to politics, Congressman, a sport of a very different flavor. So here we are, 100 days tomorrow, President Trump in office. How do you think the president's doing so far?
You know, it's just interesting. I'm going to bring it back to team again. The last time I felt this optimistic, this much of a team effort, this much of a focus that we have momentum, is back in 1981 when the Raiders pulled off that remarkable year in which we just started focused on team. Just win, baby. And I tell you, what we have is the president who's been able to keep everybody on track. One of the things that we've had a hard time doing over the last two terms I've been here is working as a team and realizing there's a leadership process. If we can support them, then we can eke away and slowly get to where we need to win. Well, we have that now with President Trump. He has the strength. He has the mandate. He has respect and a little bit of healthy fear that everybody wants to be on his team and wants to do the right thing. And you get that done, and all of a sudden winning can be muscle memory, which we have to – it's kind of exciting to see that we've done so far as much as we've done. So we have to just keep it up.
You know, Congressman, the education department has really been a big focus of the president, and I'm glad, because ultimately I think that's the engine driving all of this radical change in our country. Do you believe that we're going to see a further dismantling of the Department of Education?
I'm hoping so. And I'll tell you, I would say of everything, this is my passion, by the way. This is the area that I came to Congress to want to be part of. And it's probably one of the most important, if you're talking about national security issues, if we don't teach our kids how to think, how to be proud of who we are, to have a vision, to have critical thinking skills, we can do everything else right, we will rock from within. And so I think the fact that President Trump understands this and realizes that we have to get this Marxist mentality out of our country, out of our kids' minds, it's very divisive. It's very anti-American. And I'm excited about the fact that we're going at the source. The Department of Education has never been good for our kids. It's been good for unions, been good for adult security. But when it comes down to teaching our kids how to grow this remarkable culture and pass it down, it's failed us dramatically. So I'm excited about being part of this conversation that's been well overdue. We're now going to get back to America first instead of this Marxist mindset that's been very corrosive, very divisive, and it's been tearing our country apart from inside out. So I'm glad we're finally approaching this, and we're going to win. We're going to, now that we're aware, parents are aware too, we're going to get this thing back on track for sure.
It's just unacceptable to me, and I'm all over making sure that kids know how to read. And if you've got a kid that can read a book and you learn at a very young age, then you're going to have a fighting chance at life. But when you've got over 70% of kids in America that are not reading at grade level, that is a complete and utter failure of the complete education system.
Think about this. We're talking about 2025, and 70% of our kids cannot read and do math. That, the only way to highlight that is it's been done on purpose. There's something that our founders understood way back when. Ignorant free can never be, to paraphrase. We cannot be a smart, we cannot keep our freedom, we don't understand what it is. The other thing that Karl Marx said is important, the first battleground, this is back in the 1800s, is the first battleground rewriting of history. What the Marxists have done for decades is not only rewriting our history, turn our kids against each other, turn it against our country, and the greatest thing we can have is capitalism system. They have made that a bad thing, where socialism and communism is a good thing in their mindset. So we know that now have 56, anything that fails at 7% in a free market should go out of business. We failed our kids at 7%. Let's push this money, the power back to the kids, back to the parents, boards down in the states. districts, and they will make sure things are done right because they have a best interest to make sure their kids are succeeding.
All right, Congressman Burgess Owens, before we let you go, Congressman, some breaking news earlier this morning. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy announcing the president is expected to sign an executive order today that would mandate commercial driver's license or those long-haul truck drivers. They must be able to speak English and have a proficiency in English. How important is that? I know that is a huge role for you in Congress.
You know, we're going to get back to common sense. The first one starts off with what are the first most powerful three words in the history of our society? We the people. We the people work because we can talk to each other, we can communicate, we can disagree, but still get to a better place because we have the same end game. What do you do to divide our country? Make sure we can't talk to each other. If you make sure that people come here without any idea what our system is all about, have no idea what the English is, that feel that they have to bring their society back and break into our country, we divide our nation. So, no, English should be our common language. Everybody who comes here should learn how to speak that so we can have free conversations and build this country the way our ancestors have always built in the past. By the way, there was a time when people came to this country, the first thing they wanted to do is become Americanized. They wanted to learn the culture, be considered American, learn the language. And we have to get back to having that kind of pride and understanding that until we can talk to each other as a country, we will lose our country. So I'm glad to hear that. And we just have to make sure it goes down through the entire process of everything that touches our country. Learn English and speak English and learn our culture.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Always appreciate your great insight on all things sports and politics. Thank you, sir.
God, thank you so much, my friend. Talk soon. Okay?
All right, take care. Okay. Burgess Owens, good man right there, representing Utah's 4th Congressional District. So, yeah, that NFL story, what a hoot. But it is a great reminder that ultimately it's a team sport, and it can't be all about one person, and especially if you're the quarterback. You've got to look after an entire team of people. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Wayne in North Carolina has been waiting on for a little while. Hi, Wayne. What's on your mind today?
Yes. Well, I caught a little bit of your stuff on the polls earlier, and thank you for taking my call, and thank you for educating people, and kind of a special shout-out to Ben Zeter because I think he's near the category of the White House press secretary for our younger people, and I really appreciate you guys and what you do. But the polls themselves, I just find it totally unbelievable. I don't believe that common sense would defy everything about the polls because President Trump is doing things faster, better, with more roadblocks. And what I'm seeing from my end is I hear of people leaving the Democratic Party, not necessarily turning full Republican yet, but maybe going independent. And so I just can't believe that the people, that his popularity would go down that fast. That was my first point. My second point was, this is a little dated, but when we had all the tariffs that started up, and all of these people, and especially the seemingly retirement age people were screaming about their retirement and all that and had ties to the stock market. So I kind of feel like on that one that it took action to get into the stock market. It does take action to get out of the stock market. And people have, I think, what I think is three viable choices, either to totally get out of the stock market, or second, maybe to get into something less risky, maybe instead of mutual funds and stuff, maybe bonds. And then third, those people that are that old should be thinking about an annuity where they can set it up where they, in a bad year, they don't lose anything. They,
right.
They only have the choice of going up. And so I think they need constant reminder that if they're that, and I think they're hurting the popularity too. And I think of, you know, they
well,
need to be.
It may be, Wayne, and that may be the case. But again, I'm with you. I mean, we would have to have seen a massive shift in opinion on the president. I'm just not seeing that. I will tell you that we're on any given week, we're looking at about 70 million people that are engaged in our social media platforms. And I'm not seeing any of the rebellion, any of the revolt. So I just don't think it's there. I will say this, a lot of that is also dependent on the questions that are asked of people and the way those questions are framed. And that could have something to do with it as well. I just don't trust the pollsters. I don't trust the media. I really don't. And Wayne, I've got a skedaddle, but I certainly appreciate your call. And Wayne raised an interesting point, though. If all you are doing in your retirement and your, again, savings is in the stock market, I would be very careful about that. And one of the things we've been talking about is making sure that you are diversifying your savings and diversifying your retirement accounts, because you don't want everything going belly up, right? Which is one of the reasons we have partnered with Vault U.S. Gold, vaultusgold.com/Todd. I want you to check it out. They are going to walk you through the whole process. They offer a gold IRA to secure your retirement. They can also deliver gold and silver directly to your front door. And if you want to roll over your 401k, well, they've got experts to help you out with that as well. So again, check them out, vaultusgold.com/Todd. They're going to send you a free investor kit, and it's really no pressure at all. It's just a no-strings-attached, a free investor kit, so you can educate yourself. You can also give them a call, 833-511-GOLD. That's 833-511-4653, vaultusgold.com/Todd. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You know, one of the interesting things about our program is that we have some of the best and brightest young talent. And one of the drawbacks, though, is that sometimes the best and the brightest young talent want to move on and do other things. And I certainly understand that. It's hard, though. I feel like an empty nester sometimes. But Ben Dieter, who has been with us, 4 years now?
4 long years.
And you're heading out, and you're going to Washington, D.C.?
Going to the swamp.
Is that right? So you're prepared for D.C. And do you want to tell folks what you are going to be doing? You've been the executive producer of the show, and
yes,
you're giving up the best job in America.
The best boss in America.
And a great paying job.
A lot of money.
Good paying job.
You pay me a pretty penny. And to be in radio.
You're taking a pay cut.
Yes.
And you're going to Washington.
Swamp creatures.
What is wrong with you?
I'm going to the Hill. So, I'm leaving Memphis and the Bible Belt and going to the nation's capital.
So you're going into the belly of the beast.
Yes. But someone's got to be there.
Wow.
Someone's got to get the intel.
So do you want to tell people, are you allowed to tell them what you will be doing?
Yes, I'm going to be the press secretary for Congressman John Rose, who has been on this show a lot. He's a congressman from Middle Tennessee, and he's actually running for governor. And they needed someone who knew Tennessee very well in the volunteer state, and I fit the criteria.
So, you know, the entire city is in a state of mourning right now. Our building, our news bunker has been deluged with people. it's like making a pilgrimage.
I feel like the Pope. But no selfies with the dead Pope. But yes, we have taken a lot of pictures today, and people have been dropping off all sorts of gifts and cards and Starbucks gift cards. And for that, I am very thankful, because it is hard, and it was hard to walk away from this gray show.
And the lovely Joanne, one of our listeners from South Haven, Mississippi, who I believe is from Florida, brought an entire homemade Cuban meal for us downstairs.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it speaks to what you've built on this show, that yes, we wake up, we do this show every single day, we work hard to put it together, we try to book the best lawmakers out there, but at the end of the day, you can't have a show without your listeners. And that is the beauty of the Todd Stearns Show and the nation, really, that listens to this program.
I'm worried about what Miss Patty is going to say when she calls in.
Don't tell Patty.
All right. All you folks in WSIC. Statesville, yeah, don't tell
no
Patty.
No one's allowed to tell Patty, because Patty and I have plans to take over the show and party while doing it. But I'm still going
about that.
But I'm still going to be listening into the show. You better believe it. And I'm just a stone throw away.
Well, the good news is we have a rock solid conservative going to Capitol Hill. So that is a good thing.
That's the bright. Yeah, that's the silver lining.
So and that's pretty much it. So I'm going to primary your boss. No. He is dead to me now.
No.
Stealing you away
from... the next governor of Tennessee.
Wow. So he is running for governor.
Yeah, he's running for governor.
All right. And he's a conservative. He's a pretty rock solid conservative.
He's a good guy. And he sits on agriculture. And you know I love ag. So stoked about that.
So you never have told the story about how you and I met. It was in Washington, of all places.
And I walked up to you. You were headlining for then Vice President Mike Pence. Do you remember that?
At the Values Voter Summit.
Yep.
The Omni Shoreham.
And I walked right over to you after you finished your remarks, and I shook your hand, and I said, "Hi, my name's Ben, and one day I'm going to take your job." And you looked stunned, like you do right now.
Yeah.
I didn't take your job, but I got pretty close to it.
You did.
Yeah.
And some days I'm willing to give it to you. So if you'd like to say goodbye to our great Ben Dieter, and he really has done a tremendous job over the past 4 years, not just in Memphis, but also on the national show, give us a call, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. You know Miss Patty's going to call.
No.
We'll be
prepared. Don't tell Patty.
All right, don't tell Patty. All right, we'll be right back, America. All right, welcome back, everybody. We are also commemorating Ben Dieter's last day on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We are shipping him off to Washington, D.C. He's a headhunter came after Dieter, and he'll be working on Capitol Hill as one of the press secretaries there in the Republican side of the aisle.
Yes, I'm excited, but it's really hard. It was a hard decision to make.
Have you found an apartment yet?
Unfortunately. You want to know how big it is?
I'm dying to know. Because right now, you've got a beautiful apartment with a view of the Mississippi River.
Yeah, the best apartment in Memphis. And it's about 700 square feet, and I pay $1,100 for it. My new apartment is 300 square feet. That's a closet, Todd. I'm paying $1,900 for it.
Holy smokes.
$1,900 for 300 square feet.
But it's in Washington.
That's $2,000 basically a month for a closet.
Oh, that's what you get for leaving us. That's what you get.
It's been painful, more ways than one.
Let's go to our Old Glory Bank newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, Congressman Mark Harris, representing North Carolina's 8th Congressional District. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Well, I'm doing great, Todd. How are you doing?
Well, we're good. You're going to have to keep an eye on Ben Dieter. You know, they gave him the keys to Capitol Hill. I'm kind of concerned about that.
Well, God bless him. We always need reinforcements that are coming to join the party, so I'm glad to hear he's on his way.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, Congressman, of course, the exciting news of the week is Trump's 100-day mark. How do you think the president's been doing so far?
Well, Todd, I couldn't be more pleased with where this president finds himself 100 days into his administration. I mean, let's face it, President Trump's accomplished more in the past 100 days than really any Republican leader in decades. I think it's you can't argue it. And his style is a little unorthodox, and I'm sure people have opinions on style. But in reality, when you just look at how he has come into office in this second term and the way he has hit the ground running, he has just been amazing, and I think folks, at least across my district, have been very pleased with what they've seen in this president.
You know, Congressman, when you look at big picture, of course, midterms are coming up on the radar. A lot of people are concerned about the lack of movement, the lack of action in Congress on the president's agenda, codifying those items. I know we had Chip Roy on a little while ago, and he shared some concerns, as did Burgess sure. Owens. What about yourself? Are you concerned by the lack of, the quickness of it all?
Well, I am a little concerned, obviously, that we're not moving more rapidly to codify his executive orders. I do think that we're going to be seeing a number of those things, but you know, there's a couple of things that have been at play in that, quite frankly. Number one, on the Senate side, they have been caught up so much in confirmations for the first few months that they face. And so that probably slowed up some codification process on their end, though I certainly don't speak for the Senate, and they have their own rules and their own plans in which they by which they operate. From the House's side, this reconciliation thing has been first and foremost on our minds, even from the time we got here. I mean, coming through orientation and then being sworn in on January 3rd and the very Saturday after swearing in, we were part of an all-day Saturday retreat, left our families and folks that had come for swearing in to be a part of the retreat to start planning and talking about reconciliation. And now we're there. This is the week that the markups and those kind of things are going to be taking place. So I'll simply point all that out to say that moving legislation through, getting it out of the House, getting it to the Senate, getting the Senate to pass it, all of that we realize takes time. We do need to move more rapidly. We've got to be consistent. And I think everybody's feeling that, and I think we're going to begin to see more production, especially when we get this reconciliation package taken care of over the next several weeks. Speaker's made it clear he wants to be done by Memorial Day, and let's move that forward. And so if we are able to do that, I think a lot of the other legislation that we need to be doing can simply get through committee, get through markup, get on the floor, and get signed into law.
I know you're a member of House Judiciary, and I want to get your take on the arrest of the Milwaukee judge who basically helped an illegal try and escape the courthouse, and also the judge out in New Mexico. Do you support this level of crackdown on these judges? I personally think it's a great thing.
Absolutely. Listen, Todd, you know me, and I firmly believe that we've got to be people of law and order. And this president and the people he has surrounded himself with, Tom Homan made it clear from the very beginning that if you try to harbor these folks, if you try to impede the work of ICE, if you try to get in the way of the work that they're doing, that we're going to prosecute you to the full extent of the law. And again, I don't know what it's going to take to get through people's heads. Promises made, promises kept. But this is an administration who says what they mean and mean what they say, and they seek to follow through. And I think maybe these judges, this is going to make believers out of them and hopefully some other people in the process.
Well, I'm with you, and I know also on the education side, these schools that are out there, there was one in New York State, Albany High School, and they actually allowed activists to come onto campus to show kids what to do if ICE shows up at their door. This is just unacceptable to me, and there's got to be a crackdown on what's happening on the school level as well.
I agree, and I think that, again, the work that this administration is doing on all levels of immigration control and allowing ICE to do their jobs. I think we're seeing some great cooperation that's taking place, such as we just saw in Florida at this raid. I mean, when the federal and the state and the local will work together, we will get this thing done. And when people try to impede it, they're going to just have to face the consequences in the process.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. I know you guys have a very busy week up on Capitol Hill, but right now it's all about celebrating that first 100 days, and we really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be with you, my friend.
All right, Congressman Mark Harris, everybody, representing North Carolina's 8th Congressional District. So, Dieter, what are you going to miss the most about Memphis, Tennessee? You know, not everybody understands. Aside from the crime, you take the crime away, we have one of the most beautiful, awesome cities in America.
Yeah, the best food. Do you know, when I started this job, I was a vegetarian. I know that's blasphemy,
We converted you.
The first day, I went through college. I watched all of those documentaries on how, you know, eating a cow would kill you. And so I was woke a little bit on how I ate, and I met Todd the first day I moved to Memphis, and you took me to Central Barbecue, and you ordered every piece of meat on that menu. And I looked at my plate, looked up at my new boss. I internally plugged my nose, and I mean, I wasn't not going to eat the food you bought for me.
Even said a prayer. Dear Jesus, bless this pig.
And I ate the pork.
Mm-hmm.
And now 4 years after, I'm pretty much carnivore. Now I only eat meat. So
it was a beautiful moment.
Lord, yeah, the Lord works wonders.
Yeah, as soon as we found out that you were vegan, I didn't see that in the resume. Otherwise, you may not have made it here,
yeah,
to be honest with you. But God intervened, and he hid that little portion. And I'm like, okay, we're going to hire Dieter. And you came down here, and you're right. As soon as we found out you were a vegan, we went into missionary mode. We were
you
on,
saved me.
Yeah, we were on you like a Mormon on a doorbell.
Is that a thing? I'm not Mormon.
It's
do
a
they
thing.
Love doorbells?
They do.
Oh.
Let's go to the phone lines here and say hello to Mark in Gainesville, Georgia. Hey, Mark, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, how you doing? Hey, I just wanted to say to Ben Dieter there that you are going to be missed. And, you know, and you're talking about, you know, now you eat pork or whatever. Just do like I do when people ask, boy, you look, you know, you eat a lot of pork. Say, ah, well, you know, that's the way I am. I'm just a meatitarian. That's what I tell you. I eat like a cowboy. That's just me. So
meatitarian.
But hey, Ben Dieter, I also want to say that I just hope your successor is able to celebrate our differences.
Yeah,
I don't know if you remember that, but I was the one that called and asked you to play that MTV "Celebrate Our Differences"
single,
and you did that, and
I did
appreciate
that.
And every time you did that, I would laugh every single time it came on because I couldn't believe it. I was actually hearing that again.
It's funny stuff. That's good.
Yeah.
All right, Eric.
Yeah, and you have a good day, okay?
Eric,
thanks, Mark.
All right. Well, that's Eric.
No, it's Mark.
Oh, it was Mark. I'm sorry.
Eric's calling from Atlanta.
I don't know what I'm doing. let's go to Justin in Collierville, Tennessee. Hey, Justin, help us save the show here.
Hey, Todd. I just want to know, is this like we're sending Ben out like he's the prodigal son? Daddy Starnes is going to give him an appearance, so we're gonna trust him out there?
No. This is like...
Am I allowed to come back?
No, this is like Elijah and Elisha, right? So we are sending him forth to proclaim the gospel of conservatism.
Did he just call you Daddy Starnes?
He did. I was trying to ignore that.
Wow, all right.
Well, Ben, we're going to miss you. I really wish you weren't leaving, but you always have a home back here in Memphis. But if you reconsider or get cold feet, you can always come back.
This is true. You can always come back.
Mm. Yeah. It's. I can't say it's tempting because what if my new boss is listening? But no, what I'll say is Justin, I appreciate that. And the next person that takes my job, they've got a tough one because you have to wrangle in Todd all the time. That's half my job. I mean, to Mark's last point, every person that comes on air, we've got to screen it, let you on the show. And I was a very lenient person. I pretty much let anybody on this show and let them play whatever they wanted, and I dealt with the ramifications in a meeting with Todd after. So yeah, it's gonna be tough.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
I'm lovable. I'm anyway, Justin, I think for the national audience, you know, they've just gotten to know Ben over the past year and a half, 2 years, but you guys in Memphis on the morning show have known him for about 4 years now, and I'm just curious, you know, the impact that he's had in what's happening here in Memphis.
Yeah, so I'm a pretty good consumer of local politics, and I can tell you this, there is no news reporter in Memphis or no news outlet that is more in touch with local politics than Ben Dieter. That's why, especially we've got our 2026 elections that are coming up, that I'm going to miss him, because I know there's not going to be anybody else that is passionate enough like Ben about doing their job. So, you know, it's a real gain for Washington, D.C., but it's a real big loss for us.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, Justin, I can promise you on the local side, we're going to have some passion. The passion is not going away, so hang tight there, my friend, and thank you for calling in. Let's go to Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Richard wants to weigh in on the conditions in Memphis. Hey, Richard, what's going on?
Hi, Todd. I'm sorry to hear that Ben's going, and Ben, whenever you go anywhere, be safe, okay? I was in Cordova up until the end of 2023, and I was in an apartment complex out on Trinity, real close to Shelby Farms. and nice complex. Unfortunately, it got sold, and after it was sold, I watched the quality start to slowly deteriorate as the city got worse. You know, when you're supposed to have one person in an apartment and you got one person who's also taking in like 8 and 9 month old kids for daycare and they're running around in diapers by the pool, that's not cool. But anyhow, there were a lot of things about Memphis that I really liked, especially the old architecture, because being a photographer and a graphic designer, that appeals to me. It was great subject matter. But my life is more important subject matter, and I'm not going to risk that going out to get a picture of what used to be. So I can appreciate the fact that the police department is losing people, and it's down, what, 1,000, maybe more. Hey, you get the government you vote for. And unfortunately, the people who voted these people in weren't thinking with their head. So I hope the city comes back. I hope it turns around. I would love to see Chicken Man get kicked out of Congress. But as long as he's got the constituency that keeps supporting him and voting him in, ain't nothing going to change.
Yeah, Richard, I'm afraid we're going to replace Chicken Man talking about Steve Cohen with Power Afro Man, which would be this radical leftist who's trying to destroy Elon Musk. His name is Justin Pearson. But I do think it's interesting that of all the places in America, Elon picked Memphis, Tennessee, because Elon knows that there's something here strategically with the you know, with the transportation hub that we are, but also Memphis, you know, in spite of everything, also leads the nation as one of the most philanthropic towns in America. So we have very generous, kind, giving people here. And unfortunately, you're right, Richard, they're voting based on political party and skin color, and that is a toxic combo. Got to run here, folks. Hang tight. Richard, thanks for that call. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, tomorrow, 100 days. We should have cupcakes or something. We'll celebrate together as we look forward to the next 100 days of the Trump administration. And, man, would it not be nice to have possibly even a third term of Donald J. Trump? Those are serious conversations that are being had, so we'll keep you updated there. So, Dieter, so the plan is, so you're packed and you're heading up to – when do you head up to D.C., and when do you start the new gig?
So my last day is today, like working, and then I have to get there. My first day on the Hill is Monday. And so between now and next Monday, a week from now, I've got to get packed and get everything in a U-Haul and drive my butt to the swamp.
Well, it's going to be a lot of – are you looking forward to – I mean, this is like a big dream of yours.
Yeah, it is. I've always wanted to be a press secretary for a sitting member of Congress. I really do like Congressman John Rose. He's a great guy. He's from Tennessee, which was big for me. I didn't want to go represent someone from New Mexico. Like, why? Truly. And I love Tennessee. So he's representing Tennessee. He's running for governor. And so that's kind of cool. Because even though I'm leaving the state, my representative that I'm working for is going to be the next governor.
All right. You have to go to this one place. It's called Ben's Chili Bowl.
What?
Ben's Chili Bowl.
Is the food good there?
The food, it is unbelievable. You need some antacid tablets, but it is unbelievable. You got to get...
Better than Skyline Chili?
Oh, look, this chili will blow you away in more ways than one, actually. but they have one at the airport at Reagan National. I'm thought, I love Ben's Chili Bowl, but I don't want to be on a plane full of people who just ate Ben's half smokes. But you got to get a half smoke with chili.
Is that pork?
It's a hot dog.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And it is good.
Did you, remind me, did you spend time in D.C.?
Yes, but not like living there.
You spent your time in New York.
In New York,
but
yeah.
You've been there a lot.
Oh, yeah, quite a bit.
I've barely been there. So I'm going to need a map. I'm going to need prayers. I'm going to need a lot.
Well, I can assure you of this. We have a great big radio family, You made an indelible impression on them, and I'm sure all of them are going to be praying for you. And, Ben, we wish you nothing but the very, very best. Good luck to you there in Washington, D.C.
Thank you.
All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up here. We're back tomorrow, 100 days of Donald J. Trump. Have a great one, everybody. You be good, America.